Stand by.
Hi, this is Jeff.
And Gretchen.
And you're listening to This and That with Jeff and Gretchen, show number 55.
Yay!
Yeah, I never know what to say about that. It's just show number 55.
Five, you know, more than 50.
55 is a lot of shows. And you've been with us for how long now?
Oh, probably a year.
Yeah. And we've probably been doing it every 2 or 3 weeks, sometimes 4 weeks, like this last one.
Yeah.
We've had so many angry callers and listeners because we haven't done a podcast.
So, this is what we owe them, right? Here it comes.
Here is what everyone's been missing. Oh, by the way, nobody has complained.
Nobody's called.
Because we've trained, well, the phone number doesn't work again because I didn't call it like I'm supposed to every 2 weeks. So I called it.
Or one of the loyal listeners could call it, too.
Right, but they never do.
But they don't.
So we lost the phone number again. That means I have to change all the numbers. Reapply for another number, then change the website.
Oh, Jeff.
Seems like a lot of bother.
Why don't you just give them your iPhone number? Let them call you.
Well, and that's fine, but the problem is they can't record.
Oh, so that's true. They'd have to get you live to actually make a comment.
Right. Well, even if they got me live. No, actually, well... Okay, we'll talk about that later. But
I bet you have a feature for that.
Yeah.
I bet you do.
Yes, I do. Yeah, we definitely have to talk iPhone since that's been all the buzz. But anyways, it's been a month, and there's a lot of stuff going on, I suppose. There's a lot of stuff going on. How are you, Gretchen?
In your life or just in the world in general?
In my life and in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, you've been gainfully unemployed for a month.
I have been.
Not wanting to go back to work, but...
No, I haven't. I've made a trip to Hawaii when I was... And made a trip to... Where else did I go?
Austin?
No, I didn't go to Austin at the last minute. Canceled out of that one.
Oh,
I went to Austin for a... Yeah, I guess I still went to Austin for a fun trip over the weekend. I was supposed to go for an interview with down there, and I canceled it. I suppose I should be up front and let everybody know what's going on. And I accepted a job, and I'm starting to work on Friday the 13th. Why Friday, you may ask?
Yes, why Friday, Jeff?
Thank you.
That's an odd day to start a job.
It's an odd day to start a job. Well, because they have a client that's going to start with a project on Monday. And instead of having my first day, the first day with the client, it probably made sense to get oriented with the company.
So you know your way to the bathroom?
So I know my ways.
You don't have to ask while you're meeting with the client?
Exactly.
Yeah, that does look good.
Yeah. So, you know, I never really told anybody where I worked before because I like to try to keep that somewhat private. And I won't tell anybody where I'm working this time. But it's a small consulting company in Dallas. If I told you, you wouldn't have heard about it anyways. But looks like it could be a lot of fun and interesting. So... I am looking forward to the work. I'm not particularly looking forward to going back to work.
I
have to work, this is a good company to go to, I think.
As I just put in my 12-hour day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were supposed to podcast earlier tonight. That's why it's so late.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, wait, you don't know that.
Yeah.
Darn it.
It's dark and rainy out. What a surprise. It's only rained 40 days in a row here in Dallas.
Literally.
God,
every single... Now I know what it's like to live in a
Seattle.
Rainy place.
Yeah, we know what it's
every
like to be in Seattle.
Every single day it rains, and then the rain goes away, and there's a wee bit of sunshine, and then the rain comes back.
Really hard, with a vengeance.
And we haven't... I mean, Dallas is a place that... When I think of Dallas weather, I just think of sunny days, no clouds. And that's depressing on its own for days and months on end.
What's depressing about that? Sunny days?
I think it's just a repetition of anything. It just gets you after a while.
Oh, remember your days in the snow? Come on, sunny days.
Days in the snow?
Yeah, that was remember that?
When?
You actually lived in the snow?
A long, long time ago.
A long time ago, yeah. Well... You
back
can't
in
be
the
talking
ice ages.
Like that back in November and December.
Well, anyway, Dallas has not been that way this year at all.
Yeah.
And I even found my local pool, which I like a lot, and I bought a nice little lounge chair. It's sitting in my car waiting for just a glimmer of sun.
I know, and I bought new patio furniture that I have yet to sit in.
Yeah.
It's been a month.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And now they're saying that they think, actually, they always saying, well, in about a week or so, this stuff should move out. That's what they've been saying for a month.
A month, yeah.
A month and a half. And They just can't forecast beyond a week. That's all. They're just trying to give us false hope.
Yep. And there's a new storm, and it's this big red cloud that's over any weather map you look at. It's always over Dallas area.
I've been Googling and trying to find and looking and searching for anything that would, like, just sort of scientists saying what's going on, because this is weird. I mean,
it is.
It's
weird.
Almost. In fact, it is a little bit scary weird, because I've never seen anything like it here.
It is unprecedented. Isn't it the wettest season so far on record?
I don't know about that.
We
it's
did
close.
Have a couple years of drought, but now that's taken care of. That's
June was the, it made the top 10 record wet months. That's just months overall. And I think it was the second wettest June. May was up there. And I'm not sure how we're tracking on the whole side to the for the year, but last I looked, we were at least 50% over where we should be on an average year this time.
And there's been a lot of deaths from flooding in the surrounding counties, not in Dallas per se, but there's been 10 or 11 deaths.
Yeah,
and all the lakes were closed over the weekend because the boat ramps were flooded.
Yeah, they're warning boaters because the lakes are over picnic tables and yes. over things that they couldn't see.
They couldn't see, so they're not allowed to boat, especially drinking and driving your boat. That's not a good thing.
No one does that, though.
Oh, no one does that.
No, that would be irresponsible.
Yeah.
And people are very responsible. So it's been really wacky, but and also it's wacky in the West. I just found this story out that Vegas is going to hit a record of 116 today. The deserts of Southern California are 116, and this article didn't talk about it, but just for fun, on my iPhone, I looked up the weather in Phoenix.
Yes.
115 right now. Right now. And it's like, what, 9 o'clock? No, 8:30 at night.
Right.
Well, I guess that's 6:30 at night their time. 115. And tomorrow is going to be a high of like 118.
Oh, my Lord.
And these are also unprecedented highs for this time of the year.
And LA's got the driest season it's had.
LA a really long is time. Having the driest season it's ever had. They're really worried about fires this year out there. So is this the effects of some global changes in the climate? I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a weird one-year anomaly, but this shit is starting to scare me. It really is. And I'm also glad I did not take a job in Phoenix now, because I would be dying.
You'd be so miserable right now.
I would be miserable.
You'd be like, can I change my mind and go back to my little house in Dallas?
I would be absolutely miserable there right now. So,
well, speaking of climate change.
Let's speak of which.
Yeah. You know what's coming Saturday?
Another thunderstorm? No, I can't tell you what our forecast will be.
Rain?
Thunderstorms? Maybe a little bit of patch of sun for 30 minutes and then more thunderstorms.
Oh, yeah. So that's a perfect day to stay in and watch Live Earth, which is happening on 7707 on seven different continents.
It is. I remember 7777. You remember that?
No.
We partied like it was 1977. No. I was young then.
Okay.
I was barely an embryo.
Well, Live Earth is coming. It's the concerts for a climate in crisis, which may be what we're in now. Who knows?
You think?
Maybe. It's a 24-hour, seven-continent concert taking place this Saturday. It's going to bring together 100 artists and 2 billion people to trigger a global movement to solve the climate crisis.
They're all going to, like, shift their weight to the right.
That's right. So hopefully we can tilt the Earth so that we'll get a little sun here in Dallas. It's going to be broadcast on TV, radio, internet, and wireless channel, so you can get it just about anywhere you are, Jeff. You will never be out of touch with Live Earth. It's got all kinds of
performers. Is it broadcast for free?
Yes. And it's gonna,
is it on TV?
Yep. And they are, and it's going to be broadcast on MSN, Bravo, NBC, Sundance, CNBC, Telemundo,
What if
XM.
I can't find it?
You're retarded. Oh, my Lord. Everybody from Madonna, U2, The Police, John Mayer, Kanye West, all over the world. And the idea is...
Are they going to be playing simultaneously?
Yes. Well, 24 hours. So all different. They're going to cut away.
But will they, like, okay, now... Kanye West is playing in Kansas City.
No, he's
so he'll do
in
a
New
concert
Jersey.
And no one and everyone else is silent.
No. It's all over the world. It's in seven different times. It's 24 different time zones.
So there's no way you could just sit and watch it.
No, but they're going to
it's like the
really,
Olympics. You couldn't watch every event.
They're going to be really careful because they realized that they made a mistake with Live 8 last year. Mm-hmm. MTV got severely criticized for too many commercials. So they're going to really try hard to bring the best of all the different what's going on, because you know there's downtime while they're setting up. So then they'll cut to another stage.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're actually going to be broadcasting from New York, London, Johannesburg, Rio, Shanghai, Tokyo, Sydney, Hamburg. And the idea is they want these 2 billion people who watch to sign the pledge, this 7-point pledge. And this is what I was wondering about, because Al Gore's actually, you know, doing a lot of PR for it.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants,
by the way, I lost total respect for Al Gore since his son was found with drugs.
That's a family private matter, as he said this morning on the Today Show.
Yeah.
Doesn't want to talk about it.
But it reflects on Al Gore. Just imagine if he was president. I mean, just all those decisions he would have made because his son's a druggie. No, I'm just kidding.
Driving his
I'm just
Prius.
Kidding. It is a private matter.
At least he was driving
matter.
A Prius, right?
Yeah.
So
we're supposed to sign something.
So
in my living room, I'm just supposed
to... Yes, you're supposed to go. You can go to liveearth.org and Live Earth Pledge. Here it is. You're going to pledge, if you are one of the 2 billion people that they're hoping will make the pledge, to demand that your country join an international treaty within the next 2 years that cuts global warming pollution by 90% in developed countries.
All right.
Take personal action to help solve the climate crisis by reducing your own CO2 pollution as much as you can.
So now what you're doing, of course, is you're going to put pressure on me to produce this show by the time this...
Of course
so
I am,
we can
Jeff.
Get you know, so we can get people to do this. Because this sounds like a good idea.
All kinds of pressure. Right. No, Al Gore is actually all over the media. I mean, you can't turn on a TV in the next 48 hours and not know about this.
I haven't been watching TV lately. I've
or
been
turn
obsessed.
On the internet, turn on your phone, turn on anything, because it's everywhere. Third point, to fight for a moratorium on the construction of any new generating facility that burns coal without the capacity to trap CO2. Work for a dramatic increase in the energy efficiency of your home, workplace, school, place of worship, and means of transportation.
I spent a lot of time...
worrying about that.
Yeah, I did something for my house energy use.
What, you bought some light bulbs?
I bought a dishwasher, new dishwasher.
Oh, a new dishwasher.
To replace
okay.
the old one.
All right.
Dishwashers are inefficient. I mean... I should wash them by hand, you might say, to save
that,
more.
That might make you a little more carbon neutral. That might.
But I had to buy a new one, so I bought a new one.
All right, you're also going to fight for laws that expand the use of renewable energy resources and reduce our dependence on oil.
Okay.
You're going to plant new trees and protect forests, and you're going to agree to buy from businesses and support leaders who share this commitment. So that's actually pretty interesting. It's really all-encompassing.
Yeah, they need
act
a little
in
bit
every way you can.
Which
there's,
is good,
there's
but
there's not
they,
a ton of specifics, but
right.
I'm sure there will be.
That's
I'm
the
sure
problem.
They'll hand that out. You know, like at the end of his movie, you know,
you know, preserve the forest. What am I going to do?
Well, you can.
I mean,
buy
I'll volunteer
wood.
To go on a, you know, on a weekend and plant some trees.
Yep.
Sure.
Yep.
I'll
well,
do it.
There you go. Then you can sign the pledge with a good conscience.
I will sign the pledge. That
all
sounds
right.
like a good pledge to sign.
Okay.
Let's all do it, everybody. Let's get together and then sing. Do we have like a song we can all sing at the same
There's
time?
There's probably a Live Earth theme song. That wouldn't surprise me.
Okay, here's my entry for it. Live Earth. Oh, baby, Live Earth. I want some Live Earth. Give it to me. Live Earth. What do you think? give me some of that Live Earth. Come on, sing it along. It's very easy to sing. You're laughing. You like it.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's the kind of pep that will get people motivated to sign this thing.
That's right, to sign the 7-point petition.
Mm-hmm. I'll get some music and more lyrics to it later. We can really
maybe
all
they'll
jam
ask you
out.
To join one of the different concerts.
Yeah, hey, that's a good idea. They could use me. Once they hear the song,
that's
they'll probably
right.
be all
the
over
theme
me.
Song to Live Earth.
Yeah. Well, what else you got there? You look like you're queuing up an article something.
No. I'm sure you know this, but maybe our listeners don't, that on July 27th, here comes the Simpson movie. You know about the Simpson movie?
I know about the Simpsons movie.
Right. And you know what 7-Eleven has done.
Hey, first of all, back to the movie. Have we heard... I haven't looked. Have you heard any pre-buzz from critics on it?
On the movie?
Yeah.
No, not yet.
Okay, haven't either.
Right. It'll probably be coming next week. Okay. They'll probably release it and the critics will probably start talking.
Okay.
But here it goes. A dozen 7-Eleven stores in the U.S. and Canada have
That's
been...
That's 12.
That's right, have been converted to Quickie Marts.
And we got one.
In honor of the cartoon family's fictional Springfield, USA hometown. So, does that sound like a risky move to dress up a 7-Eleven as an animated store that is frequently held up, sells expired hot dogs, and once displayed a senior citizen in its freezer case?
And is really not, and is really not very politically correct.
That's true. Well, the Simpsons is or 7-Eleven is realizing that it has been the butt of a joke in nearly every episode for the past 20
years.
I
never even made that connection. That's like a parody of a 7-Eleven.
You didn't know
Who'd
that.
Who'd have thought that?
Who would have thought that?
Huh. Well, I thought it was a parody of K-Stop or Stop and Go. Huh.
Well, anyhow, we have one here in Dallas, and Jeff and I checked it out. So
we did, and we have pictures. I'm going
to
put some pictures. I'll put the pictures on the blog, so I will do that. I haven't done it yet, but go check. You can see our Gretchen took some great pictures. I took some pictures on my iPhone, and they really sucked. But her pictures are good.
Well, anyhow, they actually, this was 2 years in the making.
And Gretchen, I just need to like rag on this because it's funny. Gretchen brought some cereal. What is that cereal called?
Crustios.
Crustios. What are you going to do with that? Are you going to sell it on eBay?
Well, there's already 165 other people selling Crustios and related merchandise on eBay.
What are
eBay.
They getting for the Crustios? Have you checked?
Right now, they're still at three. Oh, no, some of them are more than $3.99. I paid $3.99 plus shipping. Well, they're saying online it's plus shipping.
Okay.
Some of them were up to like $5 or $6.
Really? But were they getting it, though?
Most expensive item I saw was the uniform for $300.
Okay.
So the employees are actually wearing Quickie Mart
the
uniforms.
The uniform was pretty cool.
The uniform is
it.
Really good.
Yeah.
I thought the signage was great. They did also 9 life-size characters from the show are placed throughout the store. Now, we didn't see all 9 of them. At least
no,
I missed them.
No, I saw at least
Homer,
3.
Marge, Lisa, Maggie, store owner Apu, Chief Wiggum, and comic book guy. In addition, this is what we missed, senior citizen Jasper will be hiding in the bagged ice freezer. And we missed that.
No kidding?
That's right. No kidding. And in addition, the ad team collaborated with private label manufacturers, and they are selling in all 6,400 7-Eleven stores. They are selling Crustios, as you've already mentioned,
yeah.
Buzz Cola, Quickie Mart Squishies, and whatever. We missed two. We missed the Radioactive Man comic book. It's a 32-page comic numbered 7-Eleven, and it's selling for $3.99.
Well, we need to go back. How long are they going to keep this thing up?
It's going to be up for 1 month.
Okay. Because they had, I mean, the amazing thing is the huge line, not just to buy general merchandise, but they had a line to get squishies.
The squishy line was unbelievable.
Unbelievably long. And you know what?
And we couldn't even get a parking space. We had to actually park far away from the store and walk there.
I talked to a friend of mine and said, you know, hey, we went to this Quickie Mart, and she ended up taking her son there about 3 hours later.
Uh-huh.
She said, huge, long line for the slushies, or the what are they called?
The squishies.
The squishies.
Uh-huh. Still.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, were they just for the squishy? They weren't doing it just for the squishy cup because they gave a cup when you got in line. You had to wait in line for them to fill up the cup.
Right. Blue vanilla squishies will come in 22-ounce paper cups.
Isn't it the same thing as a Slurpee?
Yes, it is.
So what were they in line for?
It's just being reinvented because you're getting a squishy.
Because it's fun.
It's fun.
All
right. It's fun. 93% of the respondents, they did extensive polling, responded favorably to the experience. You can go see one in Chicago, Dallas, Denver, Burbank, Los Angeles, Vegas, New York, Lake Buena Vista, Florida, Seattle, Mountain View, Blandinsburg, Maryland, and British Columbia.
Hey, I looked up the one in L.A. You know where it is?
Where?
What's that town I was kind of making fun of that's just a little bit inland of Santa Monica and the airport?
Culver City.
Yes.
It's
right on the – well, it's actually conveniently placed because you can get there pretty easily from the beach cities and from Santa Monica and so forth. But, yeah, I thought that was funny.
There you go. So the actual upshot of it is that it's pop culture commenting on pop culture commenting on itself. And so is there going to be a payoff on the joke? And from what we've seen, I think the answer is hugely yes.
Listen,
oh my God.
What surprised me too is they had a number of very helpful and friendly, and smiling-faced employees.
Right, who were...
She had the box of the Crustios, and she was, like, handing them out to people.
Then she was talking to us about the reaction, and then the guy offered to take our picture, so it's really...
They were friendly, having fun. They're really doing it up, and it was a great experience.
It wasn't one guy behind the counter by any means, mm-hmm. You know, looking surly.
It wasn't some Indian guy.
Yeah.
They hired... I don't know why they hired me to do this job.
And remember, this is not a library. Do not go there to read the magazines.
Yes, they had a sign that said that, which is, you know.
It's just hilarious. Don't read the Auto Trader. You have to buy it.
I definitely have to say, it was more than I was expecting.
They did a really nice job. They did not say how much each store cost, which I was interested to see what they really put into it. But you know they're getting it back.
I think it's a total win-win. Mm-hmm. It's a win for the movie. It's a win for the chain.
Right.
I mean, absolutely.
Right.
It makes me feel good about 7-Eleven. Just that they're hip and they're kind of trying to do fun things.
They made fun of themselves and they were totally willing to do it.
Well, I got the iPhone. I wanted to talk a little bit about that.
Your manly toy.
A manly toy. So I bought it, I guess it was 2 days ago. I didn't go the very first day because I didn't want those kind of lines. And I was thinking I'd wait, you know, a couple months.
Oh, wrong.
Good. But you know what I did, Gretchen? So I get online and I looked at the Apple iPhone video. There's a 25-minute video. And I don't think you can watch it and not go out and buy one because it's so compelling. And it's not oversold. It just shows you what the darn thing does. And it made me want to buy it. So
you got up, you found a store?
Well, I got up, I think it was on, so that it was Friday when they went on sale. And I think on Monday or Tuesday, must have been, what day is it today? Today's
Thursday.
Must have been Monday morning. So what you can do is you can check the inventory from 9 o'clock p.m. to 9 a.m., and you can inventory of all Apple stores. They'll have a green light if they have them and a red light if they don't. So they were sold out in Dallas except for one store in Plano at the Willow Bend, which is about a half an hour away from me. So it's an hour round trip. So I decided, what the heck? I'm unemployed right now. So I went up there and they were so friendly and apologetic, but they said, I know everybody's coming here because the little green light was on, but we have no inventory. It's a terrible mistake, you know. They were really friendly about it, but that kind of sucks. So I came home. I wasn't too utterly disappointed because I just figured, you know, this is just an opportunity. This was kind of a fun thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, well, I'm not going to drive up. I'm not going to do that ever again. And then for fun, I mean, I'm not going to make the big drive. For fun, I checked the next night, and sure enough, the one that's 5 minutes away from me on Knox Henderson had them. So I figured, well, I'll just schlep over there in five minutes.
Sure.
And I got there exactly at 9 o'clock when they opened, and there was a line, but it was very short. I was in line for about 20 minutes, and I got one.
Wow.
So that was it. And let's see, what else do I want to tell about it? So I brought it to a happy hour two nights ago, and I was the most popular person at the happy hour. I felt like popular geek man, you know. But everybody wanted to see it and play with it. And it was all I'm saying, if you are a single guy and you're not a complete geek and you want to, like, all of a sudden just have something interesting to talk to about with a pretty woman, get an iPhone. Get it right now because this initial thing isn't going to last that long, you know?
You better post that on their website. Guys, big advantage. Here's something Apple did not put in their 25-minute video.
They did not. Maybe they put it subliminally. I did not expect that. And it's only a short-term thing, you know? But so that was an interesting thing. So I do have some criticisms of it and some things I like, and I just wanted to talk about some of the criticisms. These are not... mind-bending criticisms that you probably haven't heard before if you've been reading up on them. But let me just talk about the headphone jack doesn't really work for any other headphones. So you have to get a headphone extender, and it's a common jack. It's your typical, what is it, 1/8 inch plug, but it's just recessed, and so the casing of any headphone isn't going to fit into the thing. So there's going to be a bunch of aftermarket $10 little adapters that you'll have to get to work with any headphones.
Or there'll be an official Apple one. Come on.
Of course,
Apple one for $20.
Well, I saw Belkin already selling one. You know, Belkin's in
yeah,
bed with Apple,
it?
$20.
See?
So what I did today is I took my little. I already had this little 1-inch extension thing for another product that I bought that I never used, and I took my little knife and just slipped off some plastic, and it works just fine. But now the interesting thing about this, so it's a major inconvenience for any, and anybody would think so. And the boards have been lighting up about it. Lighting up, I tell you. But the thing everybody's puzzling over is, why did Apple do it? It was not a mistake. It's very intentional.
Absolutely, right.
They didn't do it to make more money. I really don't believe that, because they could have made, you know, a proprietary plug if they really wanted to do that. But it's the only thing I can think of is maybe more security for products that they're going to develop that will come out of that thing, and just maybe a more stable connection with a little bit of the recess.
Mm-hmm.
But at the cost of, it's disappointing to most people who bought an iPhone. I mean, you can't use your headphones that you love, you know? So that's one thing. The ATT Edge network, you know, it uses a Wi-Fi when you have it. It uses AT&T's Edge network when you don't. And I did some bandwidth tests. I'm a nerd on everything. Wi-Fi works great. The Edge network is about twice as fast as a dial-up. And, for email, actually, it's absolutely fine. I have no problems with it. For internet, it's slow, but I had nothing before. So for me, I was caught in trap. Well, the other thing is Google Maps has a great application in there. And Google Maps, even with the Edge network, was fast.
Hmm.
Google just does things right. They must have like a multiple high capacity servers dedicated to this iPhone's application. It's the only thing I can think of. It was fast.
Wow.
Surprisingly so. I was in traffic. I had to reroute myself. I got onto the iPhone, and it really helped me out. Email, this is kind of like, gee, now this is so cool, I want something else. When you look at the web and you see a page, you can flip it horizontally to see it wider. And what's cool is you can just double tap on a column, and that column will go to fit the width, so you can read something. Now, there's one that's great. They need to go one step further, though, because there are some pages out there that have a width of the page. That's the way the HTML is set up.
Mm.
Even in landscape mode, you can't really read that very well. And there's no option to make the font size bigger. So that's a really easy software update in the Safari browser to have a little button for font size.
Hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that will be something that will just happen. And, you know, because that's easy to install in the new operating system. So I have a suspicion that one will be corrected. But because it's so cool, you get into email mode and you're reading your email, and maybe in some cases it might be a little small, and you flip it over, it doesn't change over in email mode.
Hmm.
And it's okay, but it was just designed to do that. But you're like, oh, it does it in web mode.
I want to
flip it over into landscape mode and email mode. So Apple, you need to do that.
Well,
and the camera really sucks. It's very blurry. I've never been able to take a good picture with it, but nobody buys this thing for the camera. They have a special deal with Yahoo, where Yahoo has push email. I spend money with AT&T Yahoo. That's who I get my email with. But I'm a .sbcglobal.net customer, even though it is Yahoo. They have it hardwired to only work with .yahoo. So now that doesn't mean you can't use normal POP accounts, and I do that too. It still works out fine, but I don't get to have these ultimate cool features because I have .sbcglobal.net. Now, there is a workaround. Because I pay for that, I have an alias email that I was able to create that is .yahoo.com. And that works cool. It's like now I have two email accounts, and their virtual accounts are exactly the same account. So if you, for example, get emails from me from two different accounts, you don't have to sit in one. It can be a little confusing, right? Well, which account does he want me to use?
Right, yeah.
Well, they're both actually the exact same account.
Oh. I see. Just two different names.
Just two different names. Now, Apple could, again, solve that one, and there's been some grumbling in the boards about this, by just having an option in the mail thing that says reply to. And then I would change my reply to my old standard sbcglobal.net account, because I'm using the yahoo.com account for the iPhone, because it's more IMAP features, more push features. So anyways, that's a little technical net. You didn't sound too exciting about that one. I'm boring audience.
That was very geekish. Okay. I hope you didn't talk about that with the girls.
Oh, yes.
You would have lost them, maybe. Totally lost them.
That's why I was alone at the end of the night, I guess, all of a sudden.
But that's a really good pickup line. You could say, let me take a blurry picture of you and add you to my phone list, right?
Exactly.
So you could take their picture and just put their number right in, and then they can see themselves on your phone.
Exactly.
That's pretty wild.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So it is, I checked the inventory. It's sold out now. I saw articles in Business Week and in New York Times. And they're using the same source from Apple.com, the green light, red light thing. They're sold out now in every store except for two stores, one in Pittsburgh and one some other city I don't remember. And they think they're going to be sold out for a while. However, it's not that bad. eBay prices are going for $50 above the asking price max. I mean, maybe some movie stars, you know, would just want it. Yesterday, yeah. We'll pay a little bit extra, but for the
don't you have to go to the store to activate it?
No, I activated mine by just connecting it to iTunes, and literally 30 seconds later, I was activated.
Wow!
I watched my old cell phone and my new cell phone trade off.
Wow!
Implemented really nicely, like most Apple products are. Really nicely. Now, I was a previous AT&T customer, so for me it was a little bit easier. I guess it's a little bit more difficult if you're changing contracts.
Mm.
And some people have reported that they were out for 24 hours or more.
That's right, but, right at the very beginning.
But for the most part, I think people aren't having too much of problems with it. No, but in fact, these articles were saying that there's a lot of people that came to the Apple stores trying to buy multiple, or they bring friends to buy multiple phones. They thought it was going to be the next Wii, you know, or the next PlayStation.
Right.
This just is proving not to be. And while there's not inventory now, I don't think anyone's saying there'll be a shortage. For the Wii and for the PlayStation, those manufacturers just didn't forecast their sales correctly.
Yeah, well, these guys want to sell 10 million of this.
Right.
So
they
want
to sell 10
million.
They're
very well going to be in stock.
Yeah.
Even if there's temporary shortages, they're going to keep the flow coming.
Yeah, and you can buy one online now. I mean, and there's like a 1 or 2 week wait for it.
Yeah.
So it's not that bad. So that's kind of interesting. And I saw a local article where this woman she brought like $10,000 of cash with her on Friday when they were selling them, right? And she bought out the first two or three people in line. She bought them out with a certain amount of money, okay? So she bought their places in line because she didn't read beforehand that she could only buy one or two.
Oh, no. So, oh, man.
Anyway, I kind of felt good. What a freaking idiot. I was glad that she got screwed. And they were interviewing the guy that was the first in line. He was a young college guy. He seemed likable and everything, you know. And he was just like, it's pretty cool. I got a free phone out of it.
Oh. Oh, man.
So that was pretty funny. So that's my iPhone experience.
Yes, you like it.
It's nice.
Big supporter.
It's a nice toy.
A few
little quirks that need to be solved. Some can be solved via the software, and those problems will be great because they can just solve them.
Right.
Next time I plug into iTunes, the updates will come and it'll be solved. The font size should be solved. The reply to should be solved. Turning email around to horizontal can be solved. Now, will they? Who knows? The only thing that can't be solved with the hardware is they can't make it work with, say, AT&T gets more modern with a better, faster network, what they call 3G.
Mm.
They can't make the hardware accept that. That's a hardware change. So that would mean a new phone.
And the other thing we talked about is this will probably mean they'll be selling fewer iPods.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, definitely. I mean,
So they had to have planned for that.
I don't know. But, you know, because Apple can't afford to have shortages of the iPhone, because they got to be selling something. Because who's going to buy an
iPod?
iPod.
How much?
Well, $300.
And so for another $200, you can have all the other features.
Right. Now, you don't get the size that you can get in an iPod, but that will change over time. But here's the deal. The iPod in the iPhone is a better iPod than I was watching TV. Not TV. I was watching YouTube stuff last night before I went to bed on my iPhone. And it was quite acceptable and good. And it's just better quality. It's a better interface. This kind of made me laugh. After I watched that 25-minute video, okay, on the iPhone, I didn't have mine yet. And then I went to go to my iPod. I was going to do some stuff. And as I was turning the click wheel, which was so cool and radical 2 years ago, and I felt like I was in the Stone Ages. I felt like this is a dinosaur. This is a beast. So it's that much of an improvement, and it's going to redefine the way we work with technology again. And Apple's in the forefront of it.
But my question is, what happens when you drop it on its delicate little face?
I have no idea.
Because I drop my cell phone all the time, and I was actually talking to a friend, and she said the same thing. We drop our cell phones, and this thing looks pretty delicate. I mean, that screen is, and you know, iPods had a lot of problems with the screens to begin with.
Right.
That was their most delicate part, and here it is. You've got even a screen that's bigger and more sensitive.
Yeah.
So
I don't drop my phone much, but that said, we will see.
Yeah, we'll see
in the next few months.
Because nobody's going to, unless the screens are replaceable somehow.
All right. Right. And that's a lot of money to spend for something that breaks pretty fast.
Yeah. So it must stand up to quite a few tests.
Yeah. Now, as long as we're on this, can I talk about something else?
Absolutely. As geeky as some of the... No.
Yeah, it kind of is as geeky.
No.
All right. The same week that Apple came out with this, T-Mobile came out and made an announcement.
Okay. It was a bit overshadowed.
A little bit overshadowed. I don't know if they planned it this way. I mean, they obviously must have planned it this way, because I'm not sure why they would do this. But they've got something cool, and this is really also going to change the face of cell phones as we know them. So Apple's got the interface. T-Mobile has got the right networking idea. So let me explain. Right now, they've got a service that uses Wi-Fi, VoIP, voice over the IP. So when you have Wi-Fi, you basically get a float over the Wi-Fi network for free. It's a cell phone for free. And what they're offering this service with only two phones right now. The phones are definitely not as cool as iPhones. But what the difference is, you can go from a Wi-Fi network, walk outside your house to the cell network, and you don't know, and the listener doesn't know, that you made the switch. But it makes a switch seamlessly. And they're billing the way they're going to bill.
I was going to say, what's the advantage of that? Because most people are on a monthly plan.
There's a couple advantages. The monthly plan, they'll only track minutes that are actually on their cell network. They can't track minutes on the Wi-Fi network.
Okay.
It's free.
Right.
You can be in Europe in a Wi-Fi hotspot and call America for free. Because this is voice over IP. It's freaking amazing.
That
it's
is
really
pretty
cool.
Amazing, yep.
And so what's really cool about this, too, is one of the main reasons why I still have a landline and some people have landlines is because cell phones aren't as clear as you'd them to be, and they're not as cheap as landlines either.
Right.
Well, what if you used your home Wi-Fi network and you had great pristine sound from it, because voice over IP with a high bandwidth Wi-Fi is absolutely fine, didn't cost you anything.
You don't
need a landline anymore. It's totally gone. So
I
this is cool.
I went 6 months without a landline.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be done.
I
know people who just have their cell phone.
Yeah.
So that is cool. But why, you know, that got zero publicity, right?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Really unfortunate timing on their part.
Well, they knew when Apple was announcing.
Yeah,
so
of course they did.
They must have some sort of strategy in mind. Maybe they don't have the network to go yet.
Maybe it's a soft launch, and
maybe it's a soft launch.
Wow.
Yeah, and maybe they thought they could ride on the back of people are thinking about cell phones.
Maybe. Kind of a reverse strategy, though.
Yeah.
Because you can't turn around without seeing the Apple.
But you know, in a way, it worked. I read this by reading David Pogue in the New York Times technology section and he was writing about cell phones because the iPhone is like, well, if you think the iPhone is cool, look at what these other guys are doing too.
Yeah, Microsoft is coming with their version, right?
I don't know. I haven't read much about that.
I heard they're working on one.
Yeah, it'll be like the Zune. What the Zune is to the iPod.
A whopping 1 million Zunes sold. Oh, boy, that's making a dent. Oh, God.
But I just read today that the Zune headphone works with the iPhone.
Oh, there you go. Maybe that's why
Bill and Steve getting together.
That's why they did that recessed.
Yeah, that's exactly why.
Because he wanted to work with Zune.
Because Steve felt sorry for Bill. Wanted to throw Bill some headphone money. So that's enough geek speak for today's show. Go out and buy one if you can. They're cool. They're fun. Again, I came from a 1990s look at cell phones with absolutely. No, nothing. No connectivity to anything except phone calls. And this is just a world of difference. It's really cool to web browse and have email wherever you want it. And neat. Okay, I'm done. I love it.
Yes, you do. How much did they pay you, Jeff?
I love it so much.
They paid you. That was a promotional.
I'm a happy customer.
Delicious, the lovely, delectable, divine. How do you say... The gorgeous.
Well, speaking of trends, you know what's coming for spring for you men out there?
What? It has to be like some sort of iPhone accessory?
No. Do you have a mankle, a manpre, or a mandel? Because that's what you're going to need for spring 08.
I've got them, baby. I am ready for spring 08. No, what are they?
Here it comes. The mankle is the male equivalent of, it's the bare ankle, and that is going to become the male equivalent of women's cleavage. It's the new erogenous zone to be exposed.
She's looking at my ankle right now.
And framed.
What now?
Okay, I'm telling you, the bare ankle for men is going to be the next trend for spring.
Wow.
So here, for example, we see a picture of a beautiful Valentino suit, and the man is wearing no socks.
But that's horrible for the shoe, though.
No,
I mean, a leather shoe.
Not. Well, then you buy new ones. They want to sell shoes, too. The idea is... The idea here is that your mankle conveys a sense of a man who wants to play by his own rules, a way of dressing down but staying dressed up.
That's me.
And connecting to the aquatic life. Like
the aquatic life?
The aquatic life. It definitely has a connection to the beach.
Yeah, that's totally
it's
me.
It's like high water pants, you know?
If you had to define me, it's high water pants. Just ask my mom. No, wait a minute. It's for regular shoes without socks. It's not the back isn't dipping down to show more ankle, is it?
Well, there are here. That's what the manpre is. There are cropped pants that cover up high, so your ankles are exposed. And here is a very kind of, shall we say, gay-looking gentleman wearing the. I'm showing Jeff this photo right now. Notice how cropped his pants are.
Yeah, they're like high. They're kind of like...
It does look like they're like 4 inches too short.
Yeah.
They're up above his... He's got ankle top shoes on.
Mom, if you're listening, which I know you are, I was in fashion in the 1960s.
A little ahead of his time.
That is wild. We need to put some of these pictures on the neck. Can you send this article to me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Please do.
And there's also a preoccupation this spring with the mandel, which is a man sandal. So you wear your mankle with your manpre and show your mandel.
Well, we have man sandals already. What's the difference?
Well, these are going to be ones for spring. So
okay.
That's right. I mean, you're supposed to wear them now with the tailored pants, not like casual shorts.
So I should show up on day one of my new job.
That's right. Wearing your mankles and your manpre.
Looking my best, but with sandals or with shoes without socks.
That's right.
Because I'm, what was the term? I live on my own terms.
That's right.
And I'm in touch with my aquatic side.
You're playing by your own rules.
I can walk like a penguin while I do it because I'm in touch with my aquatic side.
You want to get down to business. You want to go to the beach with your gin and tonic and squish sand in your toes. That's the message you're giving to your employer. So.
You want to get down to business on the beach or at the office.
Here in Dallas. It feels like a beach, but
hey,
okay.
I got a beach building outside. I call it Lake Jeff. Oh, boy.
So anyhow, that's what's coming for spring. I'm going to see you in some manprees, okay?
I don't know, man. I will have to say, you know, I don't know about all this stuff. It seems kind of gay to me. But I do like the idea of designers, you know, thinking about men for once.
Oh, well, they think about men, but they realize that men are slow to change. So they have to take really small steps.
Right.
So, and these are the small steps they're taking for spring.
Yeah, I don't know if the manpre is going to work out. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
Showing your mankle.
I'm shy with my mankle. Now I got a good heads up, so now I can work out with the work that mankle muscle before spring comes, so it can look like a hot mankle. I wonder how you make them. How does one make a mankle look hot? Well, hey, listen, I found this profile. This is meetup.com. Okay, this is like a social group. It's not a dating group, it's a social group. And I just came across this profile, and it made me laugh. So I thought I'd share it with everybody.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you his real name, too, and his address.
All right.
No, I won't do that.
So you mean people write about themselves at this meetup?
Yeah. Yeah, he's like in a singles-oriented one. Again, it's not necessarily for dating, but he's... This one seems like he's got a different approach. Okay, first of all, his nickname is Romancer 3000. Okay, I mean, what else do you need to know?
Are you sure you didn't write this, Jeff, and this is under an alias?
I'm Romancer 2000.
Okay. You're Romance the iPhone. That should be your name.
Hey, you're romancing the iPhone.
There you go.
I made wonderful love to it last night after watching YouTube.
Yeah, that's right. You were watching some porn videos.
That's the only thing you can't do on the iPhone is make love to it.
Well, I'm sure that's the next generation.
Then I would never need to leave the house.
You're totally connected.
All right, so Romancer, let me tell you
Romancer
what
3000.
Romancer 3000 says about himself.
He's probably a lawyer and probably going to sue you.
All right, he goes, "Hello, I'm a regular guy looking for a regular girl. I like to walk in the park. I call my mother on the phone every Sunday. I donate 25% of my income to children's shelters. I donate my time helping sick people at the children's hospital. I am just a nice guy. I still have a lot of time on my hands, so I joined this free website and Match.com. You can talk to me either place."
Oh, gosh. Have I dated him? Do I know this one?
Okay. Then I think, this is another entry. "I am a real romantic." The same guy. I would meet a girl at a sports bar, watch the Mavericks play ball, order some hot wings and wine, get to know my date, and then whatever. True romance. I have never met anyone on this site. There is something strange about free websites anyway. If you are having a party, let me know. I would love to crash it. Dating has become a real bore. I would rather meet a group of people than just one person, so please invite me to your party. I promise that I won't come empty-handed."
He's bringing his Romancer 3000 with him.
That sounds like a machine, doesn't it? All right, now here's the
desk. You mean that wasn't the funny part?
There's more. This is the same guy, but in a different meetup group. There's a bunch of different groups. He's had a distant
introduction. And he's everywhere, huh?
Yeah, I guess. "Hello, my name is..." Okay, I won't say that. "I am on most of the dating websites on the internet. I would like to meet more people in a group setting and make more friends. I enjoy going out in groups rather than dating one-on-one."
All right. Wait a minute. He wants to date groups?
I guess.
Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah. Then, okay, it's a column called Brag a Little. "What's some of your best features?" is the question. "I have big blue eyes and nice thick brown hair. I worked my way through college at UNT. I have been in sales for 20 years. Okay, wait, these aren't... Oh, I'll just pick which of the ones are funny. "What are some of your favorite local hotspots or travel destinations?" Here's what he says. "I love driving down to San Antonio to visit my mother." See, I think this guy thinks women dig men who are nice to their mom and who, you know, spend, what did he say, 25% of his income on children's shelters? Yeah, right. Let me see here.
But he only wants to date groups.
Yes.
Chicken wings.
Additional information. "I am usually on the website plentyoffish.com? Oh, plentyoffish.com.
Okay.
"I am username Romancer 3000. I am username Romancer 3000. I am programmed to romance you. It is a free dating website that has free parties once per month. You will love it."
Oh, God.
Okay.
He doesn't have any money because he gives it all to children's charities.
Yes. Then another goes, "Hello, my name is..." I like coffee. I drink a pot a day. When I date, I meet at Starbucks.
Kill me. Okay. Just kill me now.
All right.
Yeah, that is why you are single, my man. I can tell you right now. That'll do it.
Why? Because he meets at Starbucks? It's not a bad place to meet.
It's a horrible place to meet.
He doesn't write well. Why is that a horrible place to meet?
It's a horrible place to meet.
Really?
Yes. I would say no. I would never do that.
Oh, I normally do have done that.
Well,
what's wrong with that? It's a good way to get to know somebody.
In my opinion, if that's the amount of energy you're willing to put into a date.
That's a date that could be with a person that after 5 minutes, you just don't want to be there anymore.
Well,
really?
Then you should have screened them a little better before you decided to have
There's
coffee.
There's no way to know. There's no way to know. Seriously. There's no way to know.
I would never do that. It is so nothing about it is conducive to friendship at all, in my opinion. It's just disgusting.
Oh, that's very interesting.
I would never
do coffee. That's a very interesting opinion.
I just know a lot of people who won't do coffee, especially if you don't like coffee. You don't like the place. You don't like the smell of it. It's just not
fun. You don't like the Paul McCartney playing. Well, that's a very interesting opinion. I actually hadn't heard that opinion from a woman before.
Coffee says, in my mind, you're cheap, too. Frankly, it says that's all you're willing to invest is $2 for a cup of coffee to get to know me better.
And for me,
if you're
though,
not willing to take a chance, then that's the amount of energy you're going to put in, and you're only saying you're going to get to know me for 15 or 20 minutes. I just think that you're setting yourself up for a failure to begin with, because you're saying this is my boundary to get to know you.
And point, counterpoint.
I don't think you can get to know somebody in 15 minutes.
No, I most coffee dates take an hour.
Oh, I didn't realize there was a...
But you have an easy way to get out. There's just so many times. We're all busy.
There's go so ahead, many put your foot in your mouth. How many times is it awkward for you?
Sometimes you just don't want to be there. You're just like, this is a nice person, but I have no interest. It's not going anywhere. And I want to go. And you can go.
That's true.
And or you can stay and do something else afterwards if you like the person.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So... anyway, it's an interesting thing. I haven't heard an opinion on yours like that. So, I would say call in, but we don't have a phone number right now with your opinions. But go ahead and write us with your opinions on that. Anyway, here's another person who had it's a woman who had some information to say in one of these meetup groups.
She wants to meet Ed for coffee.
Yeah.
So she's going to meet Romancer 3000.
All right. My name is... my husband left me on Mother's Day and took everything I had, including my two children. I miss them so bad I cry. I tried to make things work after my husband changed 1 year ago. I think he had a midlife crisis. I only know my kids, and then there's nothing else. I am hoping to find someone who has kids or loves kids. My name is, I'm looking for a new group of friends. I don't know who to trust as far as old friends go, because I was married for 10 years and now I'm going through a bitter divorce. The problem is we shared the same friends. I'm hoping also maybe, and then it ends. Like, I think she created her, but this is like, understand, this is sign up information to join a social group.
To make people want to meet you.
Right. Not as dating things.
No,
it's really not a dating group. As friends.
Right.
Do you want to meet this person as a friend?
Oh, man.
I mean, some people are secretive about their baggage. At least she's out there in the open. I'm bitter.
My husband took the kids. Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Wow. That's a tough one.
Yeah. So.
So did you call her up to have coffee?
No, but if you want, you and I could tag team her and bring the mics.
I could be your friend.
And bring the mics and see what it's like.
Something that we have to talk about now, because this just happened this past weekend.
Yeah.
Okay, you have not seen Sicko yet, right?
No, I haven't.
Michael Moore's new movie?
I really want to see it, but I haven't seen it.
Okay, well, it is... I thought it was very well done. But then again, I like Michael Moore, and he's so controversial. But I actually think that...
boy, the reviewers are giving it lots of thumbs up, and even better than other.
It was the second biggest opening, and it opened on limited release, so it's actually expanding this coming weekend.
Second biggest opening?
Who's since Fahrenheit 9/11 for a documentary.
For him.
For a documentary.
Oh, okay.
So, anyhow. The premise of it is that he's just going to tell you about the American healthcare system and what a catastrophe it is. And, you know, we have 47 million uninsured citizens, and he delves into quite a bit of them. And he talks about how he went about doing it, which is he just posted a post on his website and said, tell me your healthcare stories. And he got 25,000 responses. And What's really interesting is that it's, you know, obviously so controversial because it is Michael Moore, but it shouldn't be controversial because it affects all of us. And we know somebody who's either not insured, or at some point maybe we're not insured, or we're underinsured. Even when you have health insurance, things aren't covered and you can have catastrophes, and he goes into that a lot.
A lot of people on the right don't like Michael Moore because his movies are liberal, but a couple points about that is, one, look at Fahrenheit 9/11. That was so controversial when it came out, and now it just turns out it was right. It was sadly all correct. But that said, this movie, apparently, even the pre-buzz before it came out, the Republican, a lot of conservatives were saying,
this is really good, right? Yeah. They were actually saying that. So what he really does is he talks about, here's his prescription for change, which after you leave the movie, you just feel so horrible about the system, and you're embarrassed and angry, and you want to do something. And so he's actually put a prescription for change on the website. It's very simple. Mm. It's three points. Every resident in the United States must have free universal health care for life. Here's the controversial one. All health care insurance companies must be abolished. And pharmaceutical companies must be strictly regulated like a public utility.
Yeah.
He really does make the point that it's the for-profit companies that are getting rich here. And he compares our system, and he does offer solutions. I know people complain that, he highlights the problem, and he doesn't present a biased point of view, and he doesn't give solutions, but he clearly gives solutions in this movie. But the other thing that was
that's kind of a no-brainer thing, too. It's like, great for Michael Moore for saying it, but how are the insurance companies, what kind of decisions they're going to make? What is their only motivation? It's to satisfy shareholders.
Absolutely.
And it's to deny coverage as much as possible, or pay for shoddy coverage. Right. It's not that they're bad people.
And he talks to doctors.
But the way that the system
is designed,
that's their role.
That's right. And that a doctor can't actually do a procedure without checking with an insurance company first, which is kind of retarded. And he compares that to, the fire department actually having to call a for-profit company to determine if they're allowed to go put out a fire.
You know?
Like, it's just such a no-brainer, but that is how the system is set up.
Right.
But he actually has massive amounts of factual backup points on his website, because I heard people come out of it who weren't supportive of him saying, the facts are all wrong. So some of the interesting facts he makes, and I'm thinking, he is definitely presenting one side, and he does not interview anybody from any of the big healthcare companies or the pharmaceuticals. He clearly says because they get enough coverage in the regular mainstream media every day. He didn't feel the need to have to go get their side. But some of the factual backup I thought was really fascinating.
I don't think he's ever made the bones about that he's a fair journalist. That's not his role.
No, that's not his role. His role is to get people talking and get action on a subject.
Yeah.
And one of the interesting, some of the interesting points he makes, which you sort of wonder how we got here. It all happened in 1971. You can actually hear the tape between Richard Nixon and John Ehrlichman in the Oval Office discussing the formation of health maintenance organizations.
Mm.
It was really amazing. That's where it started. And even though America leads the world in spending on health care, it is the only wealthy industrialized nation that does not ensure that all its citizens have coverage. So 18,000 citizens die unnecessary deaths every year because they don't have insurance in the United States. And he goes on to, the United States is 37th as a health system in the World Health Organization's. We spend the highest proportion of our gross domestic profit than any other country, but we rank 37 out of 191.
So we spend more money on health care.
We spend more on health care, but guess where it goes? Into the profit of these big companies. And that's why we rank 37th. France ranks number one. Slovenia ranks number 38.
Because, see, when we were talking about this before, not in the podcast, in a separate thing. My question was, France and all these countries have health care for all provided.
Right.
Some have doctor visits, as you were telling me.
Mm-hmm.
So how are they paying for it? It must be more expensive. But you just said, no, we actually pay more per capita for health care here.
Yeah,
something is getting screwed up.
We pay over almost $7,000 a year for health care in the United States.
And it's dramatically rising, I'm sure.
Right.
Pretty high rate, which is why this is a crisis right now.
Here was some of the controversial things. Hillary Clinton became the second largest recipient in the Senate of health industry contributions. And he actually shows a chart about the people running for president and how much they've accepted from the health industry for just the first 3 months of this year. And Hillary received $848,000. Mitt Romney received $830,000. Barack Obama, $566,000. John McCain, $400,000. Giuliani, $400,000. Edwards, $200,000. And this goes down.
So it's mostly Democrats.
It's mostly Democrats.
Well, that's surprising.
It is surprising. And that was really surprising. I meant to check Hillary's website to see what she said in response to this.
And maybe, is that because they think the next president of the United States is going to be a Democrat, so let's put our money in that.
Yeah, there you go. And I actually have a related story
I
to
wonder.
That. But anyhow, it was really fascinating. If you just even check out his website, michaelmoore.com, you can just see, even if you don't see the film, just see some of the points that he makes, because they're really relevant. Drugs in England cost $10.
Some really good drugs.
Yeah, really good drugs. A baby born in El Salvador has a better chance of surviving than a baby born in Detroit. It's just really... in a study of older Americans and Brits, the Brits have had less of almost every disease.
Yeah, but look at their teeth.
And they can expect to live longer than the richest Americans.
Who wants to live that long when your teeth are so bad?
Like Canadians and Brits, the French live longer than we do. And it's they clearly attribute it to their socialized healthcare system.
Yeah.
And so it's actually very interesting.
Well, I know that one aspect of, our friend Susan is doing volunteer work at the hospital Parkland. So it's the big county hospital
that
you see everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And one of the things is that I just thought of this idea that just popped into my head is I bet you can save a lot of money by putting these people that can't afford health care through all the preventive maintenance screens and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
Because that's where, they're coming in when it's
too late, almost.
When it's too late, and it's very expensive to fix heal them up.
A British doctor he interviewed said that he gets paid more for every patient who quits smoking and loses weight and lowers their cholesterol. The doctor gets more money.
So again, he's incentivized the correct way.
To make you healthier.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the way any system should start with.
I know. Isn't
any system should start with incentivizing everybody in the chain the correct way. And that I learned, it's pretty basic, but that I learned from that book,
Freakonomics.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Everyone, you can figure out everyone's incentive fairly easy if you follow the money.
So I was actually talking about money because you asked me, well, how do you pay for it? So I went to see about the tax rates in France and the tax rates in Britain and the tax rates in the United States. Well, if you go to print out the number of pages to explain the tax rate, the United States is by far more complicated than everybody's.
Okay.
But I couldn't see anything that was really standing out. I know I have heard the UK pays more taxes than we do, but they're taxed on income, they're taxed on capital gains, just like we are. Then they're taxed on national insurance. And the insurance contribution, from what I can tell, it's levied at 11%. And certain people can get like 2% off. And certain people in upper incomes pay 1% more. Employers pay an additional 13% on earnings. So total earnings are taxed at 12.8% per employee for this national insurance.
Okay.
So that's how they pay it. And then there's value-added tax and there's corporation taxes. So there are, taxes in England just like there are taxes here, but they definitely have a healthcare tax.
Right.
But, in the United States, we're technically paying for it because we're paying for all the, we pay for all the uninsured folks. And it was just a really I think it's a fascinating topic. And even if you don't like Michael Moore, and then I went to Moore Watch, which is his worst critic watches his every move. And
that was
just appalling. I couldn't even follow that website. I mean, they just blog after blog bashing on him. It was very, very disturbing, actually.
Yeah.
They just don't like the man. So controversial as he is,
Well, I just saw a study that said Texas, as a state, ranks 49th in healthcare.
In healthcare. Great. Mm-hmm.
So you said America ranks what?
We rank 37th in the world.
And Texas is 49th.
49th of the 50 states.
In that whole thing. Yeah. So, and it's interesting
because...
we
don't have a state income tax.
We don't have a state income tax. I think that all washes out. We have much higher property taxes in a lot of places. And our sales taxes, it's one of the higher ones.
Right.
But, you think of Dallas medical care, you think of Baylor, you think of UT Southwest, pretty good top-notch places.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of big cities have good top-notch.
Right.
But especially the UT Southwestern Medical Center, I'm always impressed by how many Nobel Prizes come out of that place, but among the 50 states, Texas healthcare system ranges from average to poor. And the reason they say is there's a widening gap between Texans who have insurance and those who don't. And, of course, a lot of that is the large immigrant population. And there's a high number of small businesses that don't offer health benefits. In fact, Where is that statistic I pulled up? Hold on one second. 55% of Texans have access to employee-sponsored insurance, which is pretty small. And that's below the national average is 63%. So it's definitely smaller than that. But even that's not, and as I've had some friends that have been shopping for insurance that don't have employee-sponsored insurance, mm-hmm. it's unbelievable. It's unbelievably hard to get and unbelievably expensive.
Right.
Let's see here. The best state is Texas. The best state is Hawaii.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, and you turned down a job there.
I turned down a job there. By the way, Texas is 49th. You know what the worst state is?
Arkansas.
No.
Alabama.
No.
Louisiana.
No. District of Columbia.
Oh.
It isn't quite fair because you don't always think of that
as a state. You don't always think of that as a state,
you know? Yeah. You know,
so there would have been like 51 then, right? Ranked?
That's what they say. There's 50 states.
Huh.
They don't have their math right.
Yeah. Hmm. Huh. They count Puerto Rico too? Is that 52?
Yeah. But even quality-wise, so you think, okay, well, we have a large gap. One-third of the people in Texas are Hispanics and growing. With this large gap of border state people that aren't insured, but even the quality of our medical care is about average. And this is an expert with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. There are things that Texas is doing well and challenges that can be improved. For example, studies find that Texas scored strongly for detection of early colorectal cancer diagnosis and having a low percentage of nursing home residents who are depressed or anxious. But we did poorly in areas such as full vaccination of children and avoidable hospitalization for diabetes.
Wow.
Which is very interesting. It's not so much that stuff, but it's interesting and good that there are people and organizations out there, you know, doing all this stuff and assessing our quality and so forth. I think that's probably money well spent as long as that research is going into, you know, helping improve some of this stuff. But we need to do a better job down here in Texas.
Oh, that is unbelievable. Wow.
But we need our governor back. Governor Bush.
Oh, Lord. Well, speaking, you know, 500 days till the election.
Yeah.
You know what the latest polls are saying?
Tell me.
Latest polls are saying by 52 to 31%, Americans say they want Democrats to win the presidency next year.
I'm sorry, I missed a percentage.
52 to 31. Americans say they want Democrats to win the presidency. The political environment for Republicans continues to erode, and it's all traced to the political decline of George Bush.
Well, and now you look at Cheney. I mean, Cheney's been in the news for the last two or three weeks.
Yeah.
It just, you know, oh, I'm not a member of the judicial. Oh, I'm not a member of
the
executive. I'm not a member of, you know, everything's a secret. I don't think anybody, except the 30% that think Jesus is coming next year for the second coming, that percentage is just going to stick with them. But I don't think anyone else takes this guy seriously at all.
Well, Bush is at his lowest ratings right now. But, you know, what was even lower than Bush was Congress's ratings. They came up at 23% in this poll.
Yeah.
So Congress wasn't faring a whole lot better either. But
the Democrats have to get rid of Harry Reid. He's
a little controversial.
He's
a little outspoken.
I don't know. I just think he rolls over a lot.
And one other tidbit. Did you know that the Clintons got out of debt thanks to Bill? When they left office, they had $1 million worth of legal fees, if you recall. Hmm. And last year, Bill made $10 million in speeches.
Wow.
Is that unbelievable?
Unbelievable.
Speaking fees last year. And a significant amount come from corporations that back his wife's presidential campaign. He gets $75,000 to $450,000 a piece for his speeches. That was his most lucrative year last year.
He sells peaches, too?
He sells peaches, right.
Wow.
To date, he has earned $40 million on the speaking circuit.
Wow.
That is unbelievable, isn't it?
I got to admit, you know, if and political affiliations aside, if some guy came to, say, one of the big theaters downtown.
Right, and you were going to pay somebody.
And it was Clinton or Bush or Gore or Giuliani or Obama.
Right. Who would you want to hear?
I'd want to see Clinton.
Yeah. Yep.
He's, you know.
Well, he got them out of debt. So they are now in the money, the Clintons are. And, however, they are not the wealthiest candidate. You know who the wealthiest candidate is?
Mitt Romney.
For president? Yeah,
Mitt Romney, I know.
You know how much he has?
I read about his background. I didn't know he was such a businessman.
$250 million.
Yeah, the guy is freaking rich.
He is freaking rich. Mormon. rich Mormon.
Yeah, no kidding.
But he says that doesn't matter. Nobody's going to look at his politics. But then Bloomberg says the same thing. He won't run because he's Jewish. At least that's what he's saying
is
now.
Is that what he's saying
500
now?
Days out that he doesn't stand a chance of winning. But there we've got the...
And if he does run, he'd run as an independent. So he really doesn't stand a chance of winning. So
right.
What's the point of him running?
Right. Well...
I don't know.
So he can spend $500 million of his own money, I guess.
Yeah.
Because he has it.
So anyway.
That's it. I didn't mean to bash all the Republicans, but I was just saying that the climate is ripe for Democrats, according to this poll.
Well,
500 days
you've
out.
Heard me say this before, and I'll say it again. If you are conservative out there, holy cow... There's great things about being a conservative, fiscal policy, questioning everything the government does, having a good debate. The years I've lived on this planet, I've come to realize that, and I think the healthcare program is going to wash out to be this way, is that there's going to be a part of the healthcare program that's going to take the best parts of a public program
and
minimizes the things that suck about that, the lack of competition, for example, and then use the best parts of private enterprise, the money incentives, as long as the incentives are pointed in the right directions, and the competition, and then minimize the really crappy stuff that look at the short-term, you know, two short-term stockholders and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the best healthcare system and the best overreaching systems that fit all of our population are going to be combinations of these two things. And there's too many people out there, Gretchen, this really bugs me, that thinks it has to be one way or the other.
Yeah, it's become so
and
polarized.
That's just not right. And that will never work. One way will never work because one way has too many disadvantages.
Right. But notice what you're talking about, the same thing on immigration. Nobody could reach a compromise
that
anybody would pass. And whatever it was, it didn't work for anybody. It was either too conservative or not liberal enough. It was very hard on a tough topic. So this is another topic that, I mean, they did talk about Hillary's attempt to overhaul it back in the 80s. And there were hundreds of million dollars spent against her at that time. But now it does seem to be gaining ground. I mean, between that and, you know, save the planet, you know.
It does
seem to be the right.
Say what you want about Michael Moore, but he gets something gets it talked about. This is health. Our healthcare system will be much different 25 years from now than it is now.
Well, it absolutely has to be, even because of what's going to happen to Social Security.
If we're going to remain competitive as a country, if we're going to remain a good place to live, it has to change.
With healthy citizens.
Yeah. So with that,
there you go.
I'm going to be healthy.
I'm going to go have a hamburger.
Oh, have a big old juicy squishy.
I'm going to have a squishy.
I wonder what the squishy line is like now.
off to the Quickie Mart.
All right. So if you go check out the Quickie Mart, people, if you live in close to one, go check it out. You will have fun. And we'll see you next time.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye.